session number 26861, reel 4.
Mr. Short, reel 4. Mm. Right, Mr. Short, we're talking about the period when Sid had been taken prisoner. Now, you go to these Red Cross meetings. Could you just describe in a little bit more detail how these things were? You know, you go through to Durham.
Yeah.
Who would be in charge of this thing and what information they would have and how they would.
Well, there used to be somebody stand up, give me information of different places, of what they'd heard, and there used to be all these different kinds of things what the men might need, and if you knew what they would need, you know, and you had to tell them, and they would put in the parcel, whatever they thought they would need.
So that would be a parcel that they would put together?
Yes, yes, which was well organised.
Now, when you were getting letters, any letters from your husband, would you take those letters through? Would there be anything like that? Or would it be
no, we didn't.
Because other people have talked about how, you know, somebody that was a prisoner did be able to say, well, yes, I'm with this man and he's still alive, that kind of thing.
No, we used to just talk, you know. Grandma used to come with Sid's mother. And we used to talk to people that we thought might get a bit of information. And used to call it to Grandma's.
And that was Grandmother Tunney.
When she lived in that house down there. What do you call that house now? It became official.
Theodore Cottage.
Theodore Cottage.
And that was Tom Tunney, who was also a prisoner.
Yes, yes.
Apart from Mr. Shutt and Tom Tunney, were there any other men from the village that were prisoners the way you were?
No.
That you remember?
No. There was other men, but I can't remember the names. And this man that was looking up when Sid came back, I was telling you his son was killed. And I forget his name now. I can remember his sister, Nora. I can't think of the second name. She married Ridley. Nora.
Now, this was the Red Cross, and they were doing the best they could for you. What about the Regimental Association? Was there any contact with them?
No, we never had any contact with them. But we did hear, after that, that would be in the 60s, that through the, what do they call it now, the Legion, the British Legion, that you could have a holiday, as ex-servicemen. And we had about 3 holidays through them, which was good.
But at the time there was nothing.
No,
nothing from the
DLI. It was the 60s. It was later on than that. We could have been having some kind of like that. We could have had a holiday each year for years before that. We just got to know through the people talking.
Now, during this period, Sid was a prisoner in Italy and then in Germany. Now, over this period, the Americans had come into the war. Any Americans?
Well, I never saw one. There was loads of them, I suppose, up Dunellum way, because you were seeing the people on. But I never saw one. I never looked to see them
like that. So you never got into the shop or anything like that?
No, I used to help my dad in the shop down here, but I never saw them because I was used to go and help a little bit on a morning. And then I was finished, but I heard the women on saying that there was these Americans. I never saw them.
Now, we've talked a little bit about the Italian armistice and Sid being moved to Germany. Now, you were here in Thornley hearing this. What did you think when you realised, when the news came through that Italy had capitulated?
Yeah.
Were you more worried or less worried about what was happening to your husband? That period?
Well, you know, the feeling then was that we were winning, you know, and that kept us up a bit, you see. But it was the Americans that released Sid. They were the ones.
That was later on.
Later on.
So, by this stage, although your husband was a prisoner, was kind of like your feelings about how long the war was going to last.
Oh, it was terrible, yeah. It was terrible. But we thought, well, it was getting near the end, you know. When it got to 6 years, it was terrible. The feeling then, because you were getting down. You were really getting down. 6 years is a long time. But, of course, the worst was to, well, not the worst was to come, but there was a lot of sadness after that.
Now, we mentioned Sid was moved from Italy to Germany and the Austria.
Yeah.
Were you aware of where he actually was?
Yes.
How were you aware of that?
Yes, yes. Yeah, he must have wrote and told me, like, each place that, you know, that where he was being moved. But it seemed as though in Austria he was cutting trees down. They had to be strong. They had to be like so many of them. They picked them out, and he was one of them.
Now, when he was in Germany and he was in Austria, I mean, obviously Germany was being bombed heavily.
Yes.
By the British and the Americans.
Yes.
Were you worried about that? Because obviously he was in this country that was...
Well, I knew he wasn't in Germany, and that was the place that was getting the hammer, wasn't it? And he saw it, the Americans that released him. As they were coming through, he saw the damage that was done. He saw, you know, it was terrific. The same as our towns in England. Is it all right?
Now... Also, during this period, while your husband was a prisoner, there was the so-called Bevan Boys, the coal mines. Do you remember much about them?
Yes, yes. The girl that lived next door, she married one, and he was this real nice lad. Josephine Templeton, I don't know if you knew the Templetons. They were lovely people. And he came, and he was a nice lad, and he married her eventually. And I think he just died last year. And there was a few of them came. I think there'd be about half a dozen, 10 boys.
Did they fit in all right?
Yes, they did.
And where were they from?
Mostly from Wales. Uh-huh. Yeah. Bevan Boys.
Now, whilst it was in Germany, was the communication between, you know, the letters and letter cards and so on, did that continue right up to the end of the war, or was there gaps?
There was gaps,
and
yeah.
How long were the gaps been?
Why, weeks, sometimes months, you know. You just had to just keep praying, hoping, and like news from different people where theirs were, you know. And you knew that they were at least they were safe, like there was no war, but they weren't on the front line or anything like that then, as they were before.
And so would the letters come in bundles sometimes?
Oh, no, not in bundles, never, never.
And when Sid got back, just briefly on that, did your letters all get through to him, or did a lot of them, did they get through okay?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because he brought a photograph that we had taken, David and me, you know, and I wanted him to get that photograph, and he brought it back. Yeah.
Now, as the war was progressing well, how did you actually were aware that he'd been liberated? How did that come about?
Well, we were pleased, you know, that he was coming home.
But how did you find out that he was coming home?
Well, we got this telegram, and it was in the May. And that he would be home May the 13th, I think it was. And of course, everybody them days, you know, if the husbands or sons were coming home, they'd put the flags out, you know. So we got a flag we put out of the upstairs window. And of course, David didn't know who his dad was and nothing. And he wasn't as like excited as I was, you know. And this poor old man. It had lost his son. I was sorry, we just lived opposite. And on the Sunday morning, he looked up the strip of the bank, and then he looked up at my window, and then he did it twice. And I knew it was Sid coming home. But I felt sorry for him. To me, he was old then, you know. He might not have been very old, the man. But See, we were living in a bungalow anyway. And that was when Sid came home. And but it was sad with David, like he didn't know his dad, didn't want to know him. It was sad, he was a stranger.
And what kind of physical shape was Sid in? What did he strike you?
Good, good. Just as I expected him, because I knew he'd look after himself. Didn't smoke, you know. And I knew that the job he got, it was an outdoor job, that he was getting the fresh air. And he always said fresh air was medicine. He always maintains that to this day. And he'd wanted his tonsils out for years. And when he was a prisoner of war, he had them taken out, and he had no anaesthetic. And but he was pleased he got them out. So, I mean, even to being to suffer, he went through that, you know what I mean, rather than wait till he got home. Yeah.
Now, in terms of the routine that the war office at the army, I mean, Sid was, he'd come back, back in the village. From your point of view, what did he have to do? Well, he was on leave, I suppose, for a period. I mean, did he have extra rations or anything like that? Was there any provisions of that kind made?
No, we the grandma should help us out, you know. And she was very good. And we got by. And then, he got, he was off 6 months after coming back. And then they sent for him again, and he had to do so many more months.
Now, before we get to that, just taking us back a little bit, because you mentioned Sid was liberated and came home in May.
Yeah.
What do you remember about VE Day in the village, and you know the victory in Europe Day, and how what do you remember about what you were doing on that day and what other people were doing on that day?
Yes, well, all I can remember about that was when we went, it was after tea time, we went down where the Corian is. You know, and all the people were there, and the jollification and enjoying themselves, you know. It was a happy night.
What jollification? What were they doing?
Well, singing and dancing and being a bit drunk, you
what
know.
What were they singing? What songs were they singing?
Well, all the war songs and that, you know, the jolly ones. And run, rabbit, run, rabbit. The German song. It was a happy night.
And obviously you mentioned you had the flags out once they came back. Now you said it in, physically he was in good shape.
Yes.
Was there any kind of changes? I mean, you mentioned with your son that your son really didn't recognise his dad.
He didn't. He didn't know much to say or do, you know. And I remember my brother. He used to pop in the shop. I was sab. You can remember I was sab. And I said to him, he'd say to me, "Here, how's Sid?" He said, "I asked you, David, the other day, how his fellow was." I didn't know, I'd never seen him for 3 weeks. He kept out of his dad's way. But Sid wasn't aware of all this, because everything was new to Sid coming back home, you know what I mean, all through the years. He really wasn't aware of it as much as me. For I knew that Ben wasn't happy because he hadn't bonded with his dad, if you know what I mean. Oh, it was sad.
And do you think Sid had changed over those 6 years?
Well, all the time he thought, deep down, that we were very lucky and very well off in comparison to what he'd seen. He'd seen the children in North Africa, you know, nothing, they had nothing at all. The parents were dead and just in the streets. It was, and he couldn't forget that, you know. And played in his mind a bit, I think, about them kids. And he saw that we were all right, you know, such as rations and that. That was nothing in comparison to what they'd had to put up with. And he didn't realise it, but David was. And now he'd do anything for his dad, you know, and he's because he's a father himself. But at the time, it was sad. And but there's other mothers just the same. But, no, Sid wasn't aware of it, not like me.
Now, what did you think about them still being in the army? Because the war with Japan was still going on.
About him still being in the army. Well, I didn't think he would get sent out there. I was sorry for them that were in Japan, mind, because we used to see photos of them. And the prisoners of war were treated really badly there. But he always told me that the Germans had... they were... not the word... They didn't think much of the Russians. So he says coop cart used to come around each day and used to just throw the bodies, dead bodies on there. Because they didn't have Red Cross, nothing. They had nothing. But they always had this respect for the British. Yes, he said that they were a better threat, the British, than any other country. He thought so. So it must be true.
So... You weren't really worried, you didn't really think that you would be sent to Japan or anything?
Oh, like no, that. I never thought that.
Yeah. So what about, obviously you found out later, but at this stage, how long do you think it would be before they actually let him go from the army?
They did tell us, you know, they did tell us that he'd like on 6 months leave and he'd go to, he'd be in the army for 2 or 3 months and then he'd be finished.
So you knew it would be about a year after that.
And then when he got back to the store, the only thing that had happened then was the wage was, it was different again. Before, the miners were getting half that wage, and it was the opposite way around. The store was getting a poorer wage. But he was, they set him on permanent then, which was good.
In terms of wages, mm-hmm. Can you remember what Sid's wages were in the army, right? I think it had gone up from 1940 to 46, 1940 to 45, or was it still there? Were you still getting the same amount?
I think the same amount. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember what that was?
And I can't remember.
Yeah. Towards the end of the war with Japan, there was the atom bomb. Can you remember anything about how that news was received by yourself and by the people in the village at the time?
Well, it was received, I think, with horror. And, just recently it says, when you think it could happen again, and England could be blown to pieces in just one lot, then couldn't it? It's so small. But at the time it was terrible. It was terrible. Took you years to forget. Well, you never did forget, because it kept coming back and showing you. And so I hope there's no more wars.
And VJ Day in the village. Think about that, VJ night.
Oh, yes. We had a good... We went down and enjoyed ourselves. And the man that owned the Scots, he was a big man in Somerley. And he gave a treat for all the prisoners of war in the little hut up the top of the bank here. We all went there, I remember that.
What was his treat?
Well, it was a meal and entertainment, you know.
About how many prisoners were there then, from Thornley?
Prisoners?
Came back, you know, that were at this...
There's only Tom and the dad. I can't think of any. And Roly. We call him Roly. I don't think there's any more. I'm trying to think of anybody else. I'm trying to think of somebody who mentioned his name, but he didn't. He's never had a lot of. He's never made friends, Sid. He's been more like a home bird. And he didn't know many people, you know.
Now, your four brothers, when did they come back?
Just gradually, you know, different ones at different times. And Danny, he was in all the war. And Joe, that was the doctor one, he got ulcers and he was invalided out, but he wasn't too bad, but he was not well enough for the army, you know. And they told him to go. Sab was called up, Sab, but he wasn't well. And this said he would, you know, it wasn't well enough for the army. And Horace, he was invalided out on account of his... He was nearly blind when he died. Horace, he went to where, you know, that place, Dunson's? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, so Sid had, he'd come back, he had a long leave,
uh-huh.
and then he was back in the army.
Yeah.
Where did he go to?
Hammersley, not far from here, so he could get a bus back.
And so could he get back on leave more often than before?
Yes, he could, in between his leaves, he used to come back home. Uh-huh.
Now, was he able to get home for Christmas 46? Christmas 45.
45, I can't remember about that one.
Because you were saying earlier he missed every Christmas.
He did. He was never home for Christmas while he was away. But I think if he was working at Hemsley, he'd be home, you know. If he wasn't on leave, he'd be home. And, but the years you never forget.
And so he was demobbed eventually. Uh-huh. When do you think that would have been?
I think it was the October.
Of 45? Or 46?
46. I think it'd be 46. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a lot of years ago. 50 years ago now, isn't it?
And what did you think of his demo suit?
Well, he looked smart, and it was navy blue, the pinstripe like, you know. And he wore it. Yeah.
And did he just go back to the store? Was it possible to get the job back without any difficulty?
Yes, he got back without difficulty, and they set him on permanent, and then he went to work at Hassel.
So there's no difficulty in
life. But they were very good, because they gave him that, they gave me that 50 pence a week, and that, because money was money then. And I mean, now the rents are about £43 for a house. Well, 7 and 6 then,
that was the rent of...
Yeah, 7 and 6 for a big house like this. And for that house down there, it was 7 shilling. It's down there, number 13.
Now, you mentioned when Sid was called up, you were living in Whitley Hill in a flat, effectively.
Yeah.
So, when he came back to Thorney, this was the first time he'd seen.
Yes. Yeah, my brothers helped us to get moved, and his brother, you know, come to Thorley. We hadn't very much.
So what did Sid think of the house?
I thought it was lovely. Mm-hmm. It was. There was an old couple that it had. It was badly decorated because you couldn't get paper during the war, you know. It was just emulsioned and terrible colours, like. But my son were... We tried to paper ourselves, him and me, and through an educator going plop, pop, pop. It was wonderful. They couldn't get the proper stuff to put on.
Now, during this period, you mentioned your father's admiration for Churchill. And
yes.
Now, apparently, mid-45 was an election.
Yeah.
And Churchill lost the election.
Yes.
Do you remember much about that, and what he felt about that, and what people in the village felt about that election?
No, I can't remember much about that. There must have been a lot going on at that time, you know. That I can't remember a lot about that. No, I'm sorry.
And Sid came back,
uh-huh.
went back to his job. How long did it take, do you think, before... You felt you were like back to normal, you're back to a normal life.
It
did that take a long time, or did it?
No, it was surprising. It's you soon, you know, the years that had gone, they were soon not forgotten, but you did. You just went back into the stride of the way of life. It was just that, like that. David not knowing his dad, not want to know, but that was the only thing. But it was a big thing at the time, you know. And then we had Keith. I don't know if you know Keith. He's older than me. He's 50. 50. Oh, Keith. And David was so... loved Keith, you know. He's his brother. And that made a difference. That made a difference. Things have gotten a bit better then.
Mm-hmm. And what were your other children just gone through?
Pardon?
Your other children, there was David.
David and Keith, and then Loretta, and then there was Michael. You don't know them at all. And they've all had families, and their children have had families, so we're great grandparents now.
Now, just a general question on the wartime period, with rationing and all the other kind of deprivations, all the other problems. What were the things that hurt most, you know, as a mother trying to raise a family during the war? What were the things that you missed the most that you would have had pre-war in terms of like food and, you know, various other things that were in short supply?
Well, we weren't really too bad, really. We weren't really bad because I used to knit a lot and I knit his clothes, you know, and things like that. And I used to wait for the sales and getting something cheap. And it's cheap but good. And we'd always had to live on little since we've been married. And I was used to spend the money out. We had to do it. And first things first, therefore, is the food. But of course, it was rationed. And if eggs and such like that, they were rationed and all, well, he used to have the egg powder. He used to make do with that, you know.
Did you follow any other kind of Ministry of Food, those recipes that they used to have?
I did, yeah.
What were the recipes? Do any stick in your mind that were good recipes?
No, but I can remember the Spam came out and the dried egg and they used to have lots of things. And I used to be one for recipes those days and do them, you know. And I used to bake my own bread and things like that. We managed, yeah. But I did go hungry sometimes, but I thought, why, you know, you got used to that. You got used to anything. Even the rats going over our feet down that cellar. And that's the truth. Uh-huh.